know about you, but I get times when God seems to point me to a particular passage of scripture that stays with me for weeks or even months. And I'm going to talk to you this morning about a passage that first came up in way back in June and has continued with me right through the summer. And it's something that you might not be too familiar with, but you'll find it in Ezekiel chapter 47, and it's on page 851 of the Old Testament. And this is one of Ezekiel's visions. It's a vision of a future temple, and this particular chapter comes almost at the end of his vision. Ezekiel 47, verse 1. The man led me back to the entrance of the temple. Water was coming out from under the entrance and flowing east, the direction the temple faced. It was flowing down from under the south part of the temple, past the south side of the altar. The man then took me out of the temple area by way of the north gate and led me round to the gate that faces east. A small stream of water was flowing out at the south side of the gate. With his measuring rod, the man measured 500 meters downstream to the east and told me to wade through the stream there. The water came only to my ankles. Then he measured another 500 meters and the water came up to my knees. Another 500 meters further down, the water was up to my waist. He measured 500 meters more and there the stream was so deep I could not wade through it. It was too deep to cross except by swimming. He said to me, "Mortal man, note all this carefully." Then the man took me back to the bank of the river, and when I got there, I saw that there were very many trees on each bank. He said to me, "This water flows through the land to the east and down into the Jordan Valley and to the Dead Sea. When it flows into the Dead Sea, it replaces the salt water of that sea with fresh water. Wherever the stream flows, there will be all kinds of animals and fish. The stream will make the water of the Dead Sea fresh, and wherever it flows, it will bring life. From the springs of En-Gedi all the way to the springs of En-Eglaim, there will be fishermen on the shore of the sea, and they will spread out their nets there to dry. There will be as many different kinds of fish there as there are in the Mediterranean Sea. But the water in the marshes and ponds along the shore will not be made fresh. They will remain there as a source of salt. On each bank of the stream, all kinds of trees will grow up to provide food. Their leaves will never wither, and they will never stop bearing fruit. They will have fresh fruit every month, because they are watered by the stream that flows from the temple. The trees will provide food, and their leaves will be used for healing." Quite a strange vision to have, and I'm going to just pick it out bit by bit. So the first thing that it talks about is a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple. Now just a word about the temple, because the temple, as you know, is God's dwelling place with man. In the Old Testament times, before the temple was built, they had a tent or a tabernacle, which was a movable one. But right in the middle of that, they placed something called the Ark of the Covenant, which was a symbol of God's presence among the people. And then they built the temple in Jerusalem, and in the centre of that was what they called the Holy of Holies, where God's presence dwelt. And the temple is always a symbol that God is with his people, God's dwelling place with his people. And there's a couple of things before I go on to the other bits on there. A couple of other things about the temple. It tells us that in an earlier chapter, that God came to the temple by the east gate, because there's four gates, north, south, east and west. And God came to the temple by the east gate, and it says that nobody else is allowed to enter or leave by the east gate. It's only for God's use alone. And the river that's described in this package, it comes out of the east gate, and it signifies that it comes from God. So this is, you know, this river has its source in God. And it also says that the river passes to the right of the altar. Now the altar in the Old Testament temple was the place of sacrifice. That's the place where the priest came and to offer sacrifices for the sins of the people. And in this altar, you know, this is actually a vision of a future altar, and the altar here represents Jesus' death on the cross. So this river flows out of the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for you and I. Nothing happens without that sacrifice on the cross. And there's another thing an earlier chapter that says that anybody who enters by the north gate must exit by the south gate. And similarly, anybody who enters by the south gate must exit by the north gate. In other words, there's... No, I didn't put it on the slide. I was going to put One Direction up there, but not the boy band. the temple only allows one direction, one way. What does that mean for you and I? It means that as a Christian, we should always be moving forward. You know, there's no place in God for moving back today. There's no place in the New Testament for retreating or, you know, going back the way you came. God always wants us to move forward. Now sometimes we have to stand still. You know, it's right that we just take a break and you know, what we call consolidate before we move on to the next step. But we're never ever supposed to be moving back for you. And if you think of Paul when he describes the armour of God, he talks about it like the armour of a Roman soldier. And the Roman soldier was protected in every part of his body except his back. He had no armour on the back. That was because he was never supposed to turn his back on the enemy. He was always supposed to be moving forward. And for you and I, it's the same thing. You know, our Christian life starts here and we go this way. We don't go that way and go back the way. We were always meant to be moving forward. Okay, the river. Well, it comes under the altar, I said, the place of sacrifice. And the river is symbolic of, first of all, the good news of Jesus and his death on the cross and his resurrection, but it's also symbolic of the Holy Spirit. You know, Alan talked about the spiritual blessings, every spiritual blessing last week. Every spiritual blessing that you could ever want or need is in this river. And it all comes from the cross, all because of Jesus' sacrifice. And it started off as a trickle, but very soon, within about 2 miles, it's a deep, fast-flowing river. And this vision of Ezekiel, it looks forward to the birth and the progress of the church, because that's exactly what happened. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost with 120 people. By the end of the day, the church had 3,120 people, and very soon it spread throughout the whole known world. It was a very fast movement, like this river. It went from a trickle to a flood in just less than 2 miles. And if you think of the River Forth, if you go up to, I think it's Aberfeldy, if you go up to there, you can just about see the source of that river. And it's, you know, you've got a little stream flowing through. And then it moves on to Stirling and then Falkirk. And, you know, by about then, which is about 20 miles, you know, that's the point where it starts to get too deep. So that's quite a long way, but this is like two miles. 2 miles and it's too deep to walk through. So very fast, very fast. And the same with us, God expects us to grow quickly, individually and corporately. And there's four stages that... Actually, I'm going too far ahead. Let me just read this bit here. John 7:38. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So again, that's a reference to the Holy Spirit in you and I. Now there's four stages, and here we are, there's the One Direction. I did put on the slide. ankle depth, knee depth, waist depth, and swimming depth. And what does it all mean? Well, if you're in ankle depth, probably you're just a new Christian who's just gone into the river. You've just, you know, made that decision to follow Jesus, and you're just up to your ankles. So you've tasted the goodness of God, but that's about all. Then you go into knee depth, and this is where you're beginning to understand what the Christian life is all about. You're beginning to live the Christian life. You're beginning to develop a relationship with God, and you're moving forward. And knees also speak of prayer, so you're developing your prayer life. Then it goes on to waist depth. You're moving further. You're beginning to see God at work in your life. You're getting involved in the church. You're getting involved in doing godly things. And some of the older translations talk about being up to your loins in the water. And you know, wherever it talks about loins in these older translations, it's talking about your reproductive area. So you could be getting involved in sharing your gospel with the neighbours, with your family, and with your friends. Waist depth. But then it goes on to swim depth. And this is where it gets really scary. Especially if you can't swim like me. Because all of a sudden the bottom's no longer there. You've got nothing to stand on. You're completely at the mercy of the current. You have to go where the waters take you, but the water is supporting you. And so what does that mean for us as Christians in relation to the Holy Spirit? Well, it's the place of total surrender to God. Because when you're knee depth, you've still got waist depth, so you've still got your foot on the ground. You're still in control. You're still deciding where you want to go, what you want to do. But when you take your feet off the ground and go deeper into the swimming part, you're totally dependent on God. You lose your dependence on your own abilities and on your own strength and on your own giftings, and you become totally dependent on His. You can't do anything without His strength and without His power. And this river, this is all made possible because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And getting into that deep place takes sacrifice on our part. Maybe not to the point of death, you know, like all these brothers and sisters in Iraq. But what it's about is putting God first. Giving up your time, giving up your giftings, giving up your plans, your hopes, your ambitions, to follow His will and His purpose. Your life. It's like saying, like Jesus did in Gethsemane, "Your will, not mine." That can be quite a hard thing to do, because, you know, especially if you become a Christian a bit later on, because you've gone through your life, you know, you've built up hopes and dreams, and then all of a sudden you become a Christian, and then you've got to come to this point where you say, "Well, I'm going to leave all these all behind. And I'm going to start following Jesus' plan and Jesus' purpose and Jesus' vision and Jesus' dreams and Jesus' plans for me." And that can be quite a hard thing to do. But, you know, that's where God wants us to be. He wants all of us to be in that deep water. Surrender to Him, because that's the place where He can move. That's the place where He can do things. And we'll go on to look at that just now. But it's the place where we need to be. And if you look at the results, we'll look at the results in just a second. See that first bit there? "Have you been watching, Son of Man? Have you been watching what I'm doing?" You know, God sometimes asks us that question. Are you looking to see what I'm doing? Have you got your spiritual ears and eyes open to see what God is doing in this day? Because He is at work. He is moving. He is doing things. And, you know, you and I, if we want to keep up with Him, we've got to watch. We've got to be aware of where He's moving. Otherwise, we get left behind. Son of Man, are you watching? Are you watching what God is doing? And it talks about, first thing it talks about is the Dead Sea. It says where the water flows into the Dead Sea, everything will come to life. Now the Dead Sea, as you know, is called the Dead Sea because it's dead. You know, nothing at all lives in the Dead Sea. There's not even any microorganisms, because of the mineral content of the Dead Sea. It's just completely dead. And I was reading that there's so much mineral in the Dead Sea that if you could extract it all, it would actually be worth more than the total wealth of the United States. You know, so it's packed full of potash and sodium and magnesium and all sorts of other stuff that's so full that nothing can live there. But yet this river is going to come to the deadest place on earth and bring it to life. Isn't that amazing? You know, for you and I, that means that wherever there's a dead bit in you or a dead bit in me, that river, God's Holy Spirit can come and make that alive. He can bring it to life. He can bring to life all the stuff from your past that's been holding you back. If you've got dreams, if you've got visions that God promises you, or prophetic words over you that God spoke to you years ago, and nothing ever seems to have happened with them, that river, the Holy Spirit, can come and bring that to life today. Everything that is in its path comes to life. Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." I was thinking about that. Sometimes you get the wrong idea of what that means. Because if you ask somebody, what does it mean to have an abundant life? It would be a life that's full of activity, full of things, full of... you're never alone, you're never on your own, you're never at rest, you're on the go all the time. And actually that's not really what it means. The kind of life that he's talking about is that relationship with him that gives you more than anything else that this world could offer. You talk to somebody in Iraq right now, what is an abundant life when you're sitting on a mountain with no food, no shelter, no medicine, in fear for your life? And Jesus said, "I've come to give you abundant life." What kind of life? What's abundant life for them? It's the knowledge that God is in control. It's the knowledge that God will not allow anything to happen to them that is not in his will. And the worst thing that can happen to them is that they die. Actually, that's the best thing that can happen to them, because they get to go and be with Jesus and experience eternal life. So abundant life is not about filling your life with things. It's about your relationship with him and your eternal life at the end of this mortal life. And I'll tell you something, I would rather have that than anything else that the world can offer me. We're talking about on the news last night about what they call legal highs. You know, I don't know if you've heard about that. You know, drugs that people take to give them a buzz. For me, the Holy Spirit gives me more a buzz than any drug or alcohol could ever do. He is just so wonderful to be around. So the Dead Sea comes to life. Life will flourish wherever that water flows. Fish of every kind, just as they do in the Mediterranean. Fruit trees. Now let me talk about fish for a minute. Because if you go into the New Testament and look at what the New Testament talks about fish, Jesus said to the disciples, "I will make you fishers of men." So the fish that it's talking about here is people. The harvest that's out there. And when you and I get into these deep waters, into that place of surrender with God, other people will be coming through these doors, because they'll be attracted to what we see in us. You know, when I became a Christian, I became a Christian because I saw something in somebody else that I didn't have and I wanted. And when you and I get to that place of surrender, people are going to be flocking through these doors got, because we can see that God is moving among us. So fish, loads of fish coming our way. Fruit trees are going to grow along the side of the river. Again, you know, Jesus says, I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that lasts. You know, you and I, if we get into that river, then we're going to bear fruit in our own lives and, you know, out there in our community. So, what does it all mean? Well, the deeper you go, the more dependent you become on God. He'll take you into places you've never been. Faith will rise in you, and you'll be able to believe God for more things. You'll see new places in God. You'll see God moving in a deeper way, in a way that you never thought possible. You'll see the dead brought to life. So today I'm come with an invitation to every one of us. Reach out to God. Go deeper. See, like I said earlier, there might be areas of your life that need God's life to come. Areas of your life that are dead. Areas of your life that are empty that God can fill. So are you feeling empty? Like I said, maybe you've had a prophetic word that's just gone nowhere. Maybe today is the day that that could start to come to pass. If you cry out and reach out to Him and go deeper. But here's another thing. Ask yourself where you are. Knee deep, ankle deep, waist deep, or swimming depth. Where are you? Are you there because you want to be there? You know, have you made the choice this morning that this is as far as I'm going and no further? Because you can do that. You can, you know, you can become a Christian and, you know, taste the goodness of God, and then just stay ankle deep for the rest of your life, and not go anywhere else. You can do that. And actually, if that's you this morning, if you want to do that, God's not going to judge you for it. So, you know, don't feel condemned. Don't feel that I'm going to be pushing you to go somewhere that you really don't want to go. God loves you with the way you are. But see, maybe today is the day that you choose to go a bit further. To cry out to Him and to go a bit deeper. Are you hungry for more? Have you come to that place of surrender where we can say, take all of me, not my will, but your will be done? That deeper place is where it's all about Him, what He wants to do, what His plans are, what His purpose is, and it's not about me. It's got nothing to do with me, what I want, and what my plans are. It's all about Him. And yet that's where He wants us to be, because that's the place where we can move. That's the place, if we're all in that deep place, that's the place where God can move more in this church than we have seen before. We can have new fish and new trees. But I'm conscious this morning that we're all at these different stages. And some of us might still be on the banks of the river. You've never ever stepped into the water. And by that I mean that you've never made that decision to follow Jesus. You know, you may have come to church for years and years and years, but you've never made that decision to get in the water and to follow Jesus, to become His disciple. Maybe you're in ankle deep. You know, you've tasted the goodness of God. Maybe you're just a new Christian, and you know that's as far as you've come so far, but maybe the time is today to go on a bit. Go on to be needy and then go further. Time to go a bit further in. But again, if that's where you're at and that's where you want to stay, then that's no problem. God accepts us all just the same. So when we've gone up to our knees, we've begun to understand godly things, and we've developed a measure of that relationship. We need to go further. Some of us are up to our waist. Some of us decided again that that's where we're going to stay. Because the thing is, if you go beyond that, then you lose the bottom. And for some of us, that's really scary because we like to be in control. We don't like somebody else being in control of our lives. So we stay with our feet firmly on the bottom. But, you know, like I said earlier, we need to come to that place of total surrender. Get your feet off the bottom and start trusting in the Holy Spirit. Start trusting in God to take us where He wants to be. And give up that control of your life. Some of us have tasted the deep waters at one time, and then we've shrunk back, we've retreated back to the shallower waters, and put our feet back on the ground. Like I said earlier, we're not supposed to be going back. So, you know, I would say to you, that if that's you this morning, let's get back into the deep waters. Back to where you once were. And if you do make that decision, let's go deeper. Don't worry. Because the Holy Spirit is there. He will never let you down. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And He will guide you, and He will be there to protect you and preserve you and be everything that we need to do what God wants you to do. You can't lose. The blessings of going deeper outweigh the risks. It's a choice worth making. The deeper you go, the more dependent you become on God. New places in God, and God moves in ways that you wouldn't have thought possible before. And I'm going to do something slightly different this morning, because Keith is going to come up, and I'm going to give you a few minutes while Keith sings a song to reflect on what I've said. Because after Keith sung this song, I'm going to come back up, and I'm going to invite you to come with me deeper. But one of the things that I've had to learn over the last 3 years, as most of you know, I'm the treasurer of this church, and one of the things I've had to learn over the last 3 years is how to depend on God. You know, because without that, I would have floundered. I would have gone completely off the rails. But I have to depend on God. And, you know, that's just how it is in church background. So you speak to any other church, it's the same. But I have to depend on Him. And I'll tell you, it's worth it. Because I've seen things happen in the last 3 years that I wouldn't have thought would be possible. I've seen God bring money from unexpected sources because I choose to trust in Him. And we as a leadership, and it's not just about me, it's we as a leadership session, are the same. You know, we put our trust in God. And that's only one area. But for you, it could be something completely different. You know, there's something that you need to learn to trust God in. That it's time to stop relying on your own abilities, because you can never please God properly with your own abilities. You can never do what God wants you to do properly by relying on your own abilities and your own strengths. You can only do it in His strength. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So I'm challenging this morning, as Keith plays and sings, reflect on what I've said. Do you want to go deeper? There will be a choice, a chance in just a minute, because I'm going to pray for you all. And then at the end of the service, if you want ministry, if you want to go deeper, we'll be in the corner, and we'd love to pray for you there.
Come and take my hand now, lead me closer, Lord, I need to meet you there. In these waters, healing mercy flows with freedom from despair. I am going to that river, Lord, I need to meet you there. Precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender every care. Take my hand now, lead me closer, Lord, I need to meet you there. Come and join us in the river. Come find life beyond compare. He is calling, He is waiting. Jesus longs to meet us there. Precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender every care. Take my hand now, lead me closer, Lord, I need to meet you there. Take my hand now, lead me closer, Lord, I need to meet you there.
Some of you have never heard it before, especially you new Christians. And there is an invitation to every one of us this morning to go deeper. If you don't want to go deeper, if you're satisfied with where you are, that's absolutely fine. But there are some of us this morning who have felt the Holy Spirit and who feel that longing to go deeper. The Holy Spirit is stirring that up within you. And no matter what stage you are, it doesn't matter whether you're ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, or swimming, there is that invitation to all of us to come deeper. There is that invitation to all of us to surrender more of our life over to God, to allow Him to do what He wants to do in us. You see, when it talks about in the temple going in the north gate and coming out the south gate and vice versa, you know, it's not just that it's a one-way street. It's that you're meant to go out a different person than you came in. You're meant to, you know, part of being a Christian and part of coming to church is to allow God to change us bit by bit. So this morning, some of you are not going to get out of here the same way you came in, because God has been stirring things up in your heart, and he's been stirring up that desire to go deeper, to understand more, you know, to experience more of him, to see him move more in your life, and to see him put your life to use to serve others and to reach out to your community and to your neighbours and your family. Father, I pray this morning that those of us who have felt that call and felt that stirring, that Lord, we would just allow you to do what you want to do in us. Jesus, I thank you that you accept us and you love us and you have no problem with where we are in that moment. And if we want to stay where we are, that is absolutely fine. But Lord, those of us who want to move further, Father, would you just bring to life these things? Lord, those of us who have had prophetic words spoken that never seem to have come to anything, today, Father, start to bring these prophetic words to life, and that we might see them fulfilled. So I just pray for every one of us here, Lord, this morning, that we, all of us will come to that place where you want us to be, Lord. And those of us that need to come deeper, that Lord, we will just allow you to take us there. Lord, you don't push us, but you lead us by the hand. So Lord, I'm reaching out my hand, Father, because I want to go deeper this morning. I want to go deeper in you, and I pray that all of us can be